Let's remain standing for our prayer for illumination. It's actually sung today. The song is Spirit of the Living God, Fall Fresh on Me. Scripture lesson this morning comes to us from the Gospel according to John, reading chapter 15, verses 26 and 27, and then jumping ahead to chapter 16, the second half of verse 4 through 15. And as we read this together, listen for what the Word of God is saying to you in your lives, in your circumstances today, whatever they may be. Hear now the word of the Lord. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from me what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit takes from what is mine and makes it known to you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So on Pentecost, we think about the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, I don't think we think enough about the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is like the one Sunday out of the whole year where the appointed colors are red. It's the reason why these look so pristine while the other ones start to get faded over time. But we're actually going to keep these up for several weeks because, well, the Holy Spirit is more important than just being contained in one Sunday. We often have this misconception that the Holy Spirit doesn't actually come until Pentecost, that somehow the Spirit was not present in the world until that day after Jesus's ascension to heaven. But actually, the Old Testament is filled with references to the Holy Spirit. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to take a look at Old Testament passages that bear witness to the power of the Spirit. But today we're going to focus in on the Gospel of John and Jesus talking about a very specific role that the Holy Spirit plays. And that is what is translated here in the NIV as counselor. The word in Greek is paraclete. There is your 50-cent theological Greek word of the day, paraclete. Actually, literally means someone who comes alongside of you. Sometimes called the helper, sometimes called the advocate. Lots of different translations for this word that is attributed to the Holy Spirit here in John's Gospel as paraclete. And the Spirit is all of those things. The Spirit is our constant advocate. Paul writes that the Spirit cries out on our behalf to God when we can't put into words what our prayer is. When we don't know what to pray, when we can only groan in agony, the Spirit takes our groans and translates them into prayer that God hears. That's advocacy. That's the Spirit advocating to God on our behalf. The Spirit is also known as counselor, someone who comes alongside of us, giving us good counsel and leading us in God's ways. The word is also translated as helper, as one who comes alongside of us and not only gives us advice, but actually leads us out into the world in mission. And in fact, the word here that Jesus uses in sending the Spirit is the same idea as the church being sent into the world in mission. The root of our understanding of the word mission actually comes from the same verb as the sending of the Spirit. The idea here is that the Spirit is at work in the world, loose in the world, on a mission that the church is invited to come alongside of and participate. But here Jesus tells his disciples that the Spirit is the Spirit of truth, helping us to discern the truth about the world that we live in, to help us discern the truth about who God is, about who Jesus is, and about who we are called to be as a people. Jesus says, "When I go away, the Spirit will come to you and lead you into all truth, revealing to you the truth about sin, about righteousness, and about judgment." And actually, the Spirit re-energizes those words and translates them for a new day. Oftentimes, when we think about sin and righteousness and judgment, we think of those things in moral terms. We focus in on the last part of the Ten Commandments, you know, don't steal, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't bear false witness against your neighbor, don't covet your neighbor's stuff. We think about those kind of moral things, but Jesus says that the Spirit of truth will guide us into the truth about sin, which is that the primary sin of the world is a lack of faith in Jesus Christ. And that lack of faith manifests itself in all kinds of different ways. And when Jesus is talking here about faith or belief, it's not just like intellectual assent to something, but it's the kind of deep-seated belief that causes you to change your behavior, that causes you to change what you do in order to line up with that belief. We've talked about this before. If I were to tell you that when you step outside of the sanctuary today, it's going to rain pennies from heaven, but the moment they hit the ground, they're just going to turn to dirt. If you believed that to be the case, what would you do? Well, before you went outside, you'd grab a bucket to make sure that you could collect all of it that you could. Our beliefs change our behavior. Right? It's one of the things that we tell our kids. My kids are here today. We tell them all kinds of things to get them to behave, to get them to, and they believe that what we say is true. And that belief causes their behavior to change. So primarily then, Jesus says, sin is not about what we do, but it's about our lack of faith. And if we in the church would stop worrying so much about our morality and start focusing in more on our faith, the other stuff tends to take care of itself. Jesus says the Spirit of truth will come and redefine for us what righteousness is. Because again, if our idea of sin is morality, doing the right thing, then righteousness follows that righteousness is the good things that we do. But Jesus says that's wrong too. Righteousness comes from the Father. Righteousness is attributed to us as grace and not by what we can possibly do. This is one of the like cornerstones of what it is to be a Reformed Christian. To believe that our righteousness as the people of God comes from Jesus Christ, comes from Christ's death and resurrection and ascension, and not because of what we do. Not one of us can attain righteousness on our own, because it would mean behaving perfectly according to God's word, which I've probably already messed up 7 times just in the course of this sermon today. We stumble and fall all the time. But righteousness is not based on what we do. Righteousness is based on who God is and what God has done. And so if we have sin wrong and we have righteousness wrong, then Jesus says the Spirit of truth comes and then leads us into a different understanding of judgment then. Judgment is not ours to carry out on other people. It's not ours to measure ourselves against anyone else or measure other people against each other. Judgment is about what God does to evil in the world. Judgment is God's alone. We go all the way back to John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And so Jesus says the Holy Spirit, this promised advocate, this promised helper, this promised counselor, is coming into the world to lead the church into a new day, leaving the old limitations of the law behind and instead stepping into a new era where faith in Jesus Christ is the only condition for membership in the church. And righteousness is attributed to us not by how well we can follow a set of rules, but instead by how deeply our faith runs in this Jesus Christ. And the judgment then comes to us not as some punishment on us that will send us to eternal damnation, but is instead a judgment against the evil that is present in our world, a judgment that is against the evil in our lives that will be cleansed from us one day. That's what gets me so excited about Pentecost. Because when you leave all of that old junk behind, you're free to be able to breathe. It's like being able to rip off your mask and take a deep breath of air. Which, from my lips to God's ears, I hope the governor says we can do this week. That's the power of Pentecost. It's the power of the Spirit. It's the power of the Spirit moving through the church and changing things. It's the power of the Spirit holding up a mirror in front of us and helping us to understand the truth about who God is, the truth about who we are as God's people, and the truth about the world and its distortion from the world that God created it to be. Finally, the Spirit is the presence of Jesus Christ in our world. I think about what would happen. How would the world be different if Jesus were to show up, like in the flesh, in some of these terrible situations that our world finds itself in? What if Jesus showed up at the negotiating table between Israelis and Palestinians? How would those negotiations be different? What if Jesus showed up in the midst of terrorism, in the midst of war, in the midst of poverty, in the midst of injustice? What if Jesus showed up in the flesh? What if Jesus showed up here this morning and was host at the table? How would our lives be different? How would they be transformed? The reality, Jesus says, is that the Holy Spirit is the presence of Jesus Christ in our midst. And we believe that the Spirit is at loose in the world. We believe that the Spirit is loose in this place. We believe the Spirit dwells in each one of our hearts, the presence of Jesus Christ with us. So my question for you today is, how will your life be different today because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your midst? In a couple minutes, we're going to gather together at the table of our Lord. We're going to eat the little wafers and drink the little juice, which is a far cry from the feast of heaven that is promised to us. But it's meant to be a pledge and a foretaste of that feast to come, to give us just a little taste of what Jesus has promised us. That foretaste comes in the little wafer, the little cup, but the foretaste comes in a much more powerful way in the presence of the Holy Spirit. So thanks be to God for the gift of Pentecost, the gift of the Spirit of truth, our helper, our counselor, our advocate, the Paraclete. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Spirit of the living God, we thank you for moving through this place. And we thank you for your constant presence in our lives. Lord, give us the good sense to recognize when you are at work in our midst. Awaken us to the power of this Spirit at work in us, sending us out into the world in this mission that you have called us to. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able to stand, would you stand with me now as we affirm our faith today from question and answer of the Heidelberg Catechism 47, 49, 51, and 53. Lots about the Holy Spirit today. People of God, what do we believe? In his divinity, majesty, grace, and spirit, Christ is not absent from us for a moment. By the Spirit's power, we make the goal of our lives not earthly things, but the things above where Christ is, sitting at God's right hand. Through the Holy Spirit, Christ pours out his gifts from heaven upon us, his members. The Spirit, as well as the Father and the Son, is eternal God. The Spirit has been given to us personally, so that by true faith, the Spirit makes us share in Christ and all his blessings, comforts us, and remains with us forever.